We're broadcasting from Springfield, Illinois today as part of our election road trip. It's a city devoted to maintaining the legacy of the nation's 16th president. The Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum is the centerpiece of the Lincoln sites here. I met state historian Sam Wheeler there.
Abraham Lincoln is certainly the most significant Illinoisan we've had in the last 200 years as we celebrate our bicentennial, and I will wager he will be the most significant Illinoisan for at least the next 200 years.
Why do you say that?
He's got such an inspiring life story, from a log cabin, less than a year of formal education. He goes on to become president of the United States. He dies one of the most powerful men in the world. Why he's so significant? He saves the Union. Democracy itself hangs in the balance. He sees the war through to its end. And then, of course, American slavery ends on his watch. And we get to progress closer towards those ideals in the Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal.
So why did he abhor slavery when so many others at the time did not?
Abraham Lincoln, being anti-slavery, would have never called himself an abolitionist. There were two different things. An abolitionist calls for the immediate end of slavery and equal civil rights. Abraham Lincoln doesn't get there until very much later in his life. It's one of the ironies, one of the many ironies of American history. The man we know as the Great Emancipator wasn't an abolitionist. Now, by the end of his life, after the 13th Amendment, Mr. Lincoln is calling for some civil rights for African Americans.
Now, Lincoln was from Kentucky, but he spent much of his life in the state of Illinois. Do you think there was anything about Illinois that influenced his thinking and who he became?
Well, sure. He's born in Kentucky. He spends his adolescence in southern Indiana. Here in Illinois, he found a land that was full of opportunity. It allowed an individual like a young 20s Abraham Lincoln, without a great education, without folks that were prominent individuals advocating for him. And in Little New Salem, they propped an individual like that up and they let him run for the Illinois legislature. And he won for four consecutive terms to the Illinois legislature. Now, I would challenge you to say if Abraham Lincoln called New York State home, if those same opportunities would have been there.
Why?
Well, because it's a more established state with much more educated folks, much more accomplished folks. There's an infrastructure there that help young men with opportunity rise that wouldn't have been open to Abraham Lincoln. And so Illinois is a key ingredient in the mixture that makes up Abraham Lincoln.
Lincoln had his critics, and the museum lets you hear them. Sam Wheeler took us into the museum's whispering gallery.
Abraham Lincoln was born ignorant, and he's been losing ground ever since.
He certainly would have heard a lot of those criticisms of him. He also would have been aware of these political cartoons, and on occasion, he would show people political cartoons that were very negative towards him.
We're looking at one right here of Lincoln as a monkey holding a copy of the Emancipation Proclamation.
He's often portrayed in the press as a monkey, a gorilla. I mean, remember the time period that we're talking about. This is Darwin's Origin of Species era, right? And so to portray Abraham Lincoln as not a fully developed human being, his critics would use that metaphor to criticize him as not an effective leader.
A man who portrays President Lincoln for a living can occasionally be found right here at the Lincoln Presidential Library.
My name's Randy Duncan, and I'm a Lincoln presenter from Central Illinois.
Lincoln presenter.
The word impersonator, although it's commonly used, and I suppose I would answer to that, it has connotations that doesn't really work for somebody who's trying to do a serious job.
Now, our listeners cannot see you right now, but you look like Abe Lincoln. You've got the beard, you've got the bow tie on, the three-piece suit, the whole thing.
Well, thank you. That's the starting point. If you don't at least have the appearance, or at least a general appearance, people would not accept anything else that you have to say.
And that's a real beard. That's your real beard.
Yeah, mine is. Yeah, it kind of grows on you after a while.
But also, that means that when you're not in character, you've still got the Abraham Lincoln beard with no mustache.
Yeah, that's right. And that is sometimes a bit of a challenge because, you know, from the neck up, you look pretty much the same all the time, whether it's blue jeans and a T-shirt or a black three-piece suit like this is.
So how did you get started doing this?
A friend of mine was running a business and was having a special event and wanted me to dress up in an outfit. Just he wasn't specific, just any outfit, just to make it a more festive event. And I'd been thinking about this. I had a full beard at the time, so I shaved off the top half of the beard and borrowed a top hat from the local high school theater group and put on a dark suit and a tie. And that's where it started.
How long ago was that?
That was this fall, which is about now. It would be 21 years ago.
21 years ago.
Yeah, and to be from Illinois means that you probably know some things about Lincoln already, as most people do. But then you have to go and become serious about it and become a sort of an amateur historian and to learn the things that a lot of people don't know to kind of flesh out the character. A lot of people know that Lincoln saved the Union and freed the slaves. He died in a theater. He was 6'4", the 16th president of the United States. You know, that's kind of a package that a large part of the population already knows. But there are things about Lincoln that a lot of people don't know.
What are the things that people don't know about Lincoln?
One of the most interesting things to me is his sense of humor. You look at a picture of a person, and of course at that time nobody smiled in pictures, partly because of the long exposure time. And if you wiggled at all, you would have a blurry picture. So people think that everybody from that period was, they looked like they all had bunions, you know, that were hurting them. They weren't smiling. But he was a funny man. People said at the time that no photograph ever really captured the way he was. So, for instance, he was going down the street one time with a fellow next to him. The report is that he saw a sign over a building. The proprietor's name for this business was T.R. Strong. And he saw the sign over the door, and he said, "Oh, that's right. T.R. Strong, but coffee R. Stronger."
So, now, you have a deep voice, which is the way that we think of Abraham Lincoln. But what do we know about that? Because there are no recordings of him.
Right. It was a couple of decades before we had recordings available. But there are descriptions of Lincoln's voice, which was very much unlike mine. We think of anybody who we respect as having a deep, impressive voice, like a James Earl Jones voice, this, you know, that kind of voice. But it was not at all the kind of voice he had. He had the descriptions report as kind of a high tenor voice. And they said even at that time that he would use old-fashioned pronunciations of things. And so you have to bring it up a notch from my natural voice up. And it would sound more like this. Because he come from Kentucky, and you think about it, they have the kind of the bend the ends of the sentences up a little bit, and might say over thar instead of over there, and things like that. Or Mr. Chairman, I reckon is how I could allow that.
I can't imagine the Gettysburg Address being said like that.
Well, that's all right. The one thing to remember is that a voice like that does carry a lot better in a big open area, which, of course, there was no amplification at that time. Excuse me, I'll get the voice back down. That's it. Once you get in, it's kind of odd to go in and out of it.
Can we have you give us a little bit of the Gettysburg Address?
Okay, I'll just do the first part of it. In Lincoln's voice, it would be, 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
There must be some little kids who think that you actually are Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. I remember a fourth grade teacher told me about one of her students who came up to her afterwards and said, "Did he get kicked out of heaven so that he could be here with us today?" You know, they were at that age, those children were at that age where cognitively they knew that Abraham Lincoln was dead, and yet this guy looks so much like Lincoln that he probably is Lincoln. It is a humbling thing to be Lincoln. A week ago, there was a lady standing out there. This was after hours for the museum, standing there. And I just walked up. I didn't say anything. And she shook my hand, and she broke into tears.
Wow.
She was just so overcome with emotion at meeting President Abraham Lincoln. And, of course, I know that I'm not Abraham Lincoln, but for her purposes, I was a good enough stand-in. And so that is a very... It's a very humbling thing to have that responsibility. He's not here, and none of his family are here, and I wouldn't want somebody to be representing me whenever I wasn't there to correct them. So it's not like a game. It's something to take seriously.
Lincoln presenter Randy Duncan left us to head to an elementary school where students had raised more than $18,000 in pennies to buy a book that was a testament to Lincoln's good moral character from the 1830s. It was needed for him to practice law in Illinois. That book will be donated to the Lincoln Museum.